All right, where are we going in our Bibles here this morning? 1 Timothy. All right, New Testament, 1 Timothy. And of course, you know me. Where's 1 Timothy? Right before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. If you get to all the Philippians and Colossians and Thessalonians, 1 Timothy will be right after that. We're going to go to chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse number 3. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read verses 3 through 10. God's word says this. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, your scriptures are just full of all kinds of wonderful and great and godly advice for those who want to follow this Christian path. And follow one of those topics is what we read about here today. So Father, let us all just be brought closer to Jesus with what we're going to learn here today about this topic of money. And Father, let it not be a stumbling block for any of us. Let us all learn a little bit more. Let us all become a little more Christ-like. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. A pastor once told me that if there's a topic that you need to bring in front of your congregation on some sort of regular basis, it's the topic of money. So as I was looking at my notes, I noticed that I haven't preached on money in a long time. Today's our lucky day. So, money. Here's some quotes that people over the years and centuries have said about money. Quote, money has never made man happy, nor will it. There is nothing in its nature to produce happiness. The more of it one has, the more one wants. That is Benjamin Franklin. Another quote, too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like. That's Will Smith. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. That's the Beatles. Another one. I like this one. Quote, a successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful woman is one who can find such a man. That was Lana Turner. How about this one? Money can't buy happiness, but somehow it is easier crying inside a Lamborghini than on a bicycle. It's not, and this one's anonymous, it's not your salary that makes you rich. It's your spending habits. There's a good one. Money doesn't make you happy. I now have $50 million. But I was just as happy when I had $48 million. That was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Couple more. And this is anonymous. Instead of loving people and using money, people often love money and use people. And the last one, this is anonymous. Do you want to make money from Facebook? It's easy. Just go into your account settings, deactivate your account, and go out and find a job. Money. We can't get away from it, can we? It's a part of our life. And no matter where you stand in the status of rich, poor, no matter, money affects each and every one of us every day. We just had a part of our service called the offering. We pass the basket, and what do we do? We give back a portion of what we want to give back to God. We give our finances. It's a part of everybody's life. We would agree that some people have more than others, don't they? We have all seen what a lack of money has done to some people, and we've all seen what an abundance of money has done to some people. So the first question that we'll ask here today is this: are we content with the money that we have? And you have to answer that yourself. If we had more, what would that do to us? If we had less, what would that do to us? Well, we all know that the Bible has much to say about money. So this morning we're going to take a biblical look, a very basic look at this concept of money. So on your totem pole of things that you worship and idolize, is Christ above money, or is money above Christ? Are you truly content, keyword content, with placing Christ first and above all things, including your money and your possessions? Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And those two go hand in hand, your treasure and your heart. Where you find one, you'll find the other. Where you find your heart, your treasure is going to be right there. Then later on in verse 24 of that same chapter 6, Jesus says that we cannot serve both God and money. So one or the other is going to be your master, is going to be my master. We need to decide which one are we going to follow. Well, I assure you that having money, or even lots of money, in itself is not a bad thing. Proverbs 8:21 tells us that God will bestow wealth on those who love him, making their treasures full. Now, let's face it, God does bless some people financially. There's nothing wrong with that. Job, he was a very rich man before his situation in Job chapter 1 and 2. And he's even a richer man after it was all over in Job chapter 42. So how do I know? Oh, okay, Mike, you're asking me, do I place money above Christ, or do I place Christ above money? So how do I know if I do? Maybe I'm struggling with this, and I need some direction on which way to go. Well, in your bulletins, there's going to be three questions, or actually three statements, that will be kind of like measuring sticks that you can go over with yourself, with your spouse, whatever, and let you know and identify, what do I really put first in my life? Do I put money first and then Christ, or do I put Christ first and then money? Fill in the blank number one. You know you love money more than Christ when you never have enough. When you never have enough. Do you always want more money. Some people never have enough money and they always just want more and more and more. You can read the little story that I have on the side of the bulletin there on the inside cover about Frank Sinatra. On the contrary, if you're content with what you do have, then you love Christ more than you love money, because when you love Christ more than money, you always have enough money. It's not an issue anymore. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, or never will I forsake you. So, kind of as a side question, I need to ask this. If we feel like we never have enough, then what does that make us feel about our relationship with Christ? That he can't provide? Just a thought. What do people do who don't have enough money? Or at least they feel like, I don't have enough money. How do they try to obtain it? Well, here's a couple directions they might go. One, they could play the lottery. Some people gamble, and some people buy lottery tickets. We all know that. It's been out there for years and years and years. By the way, I'm just going to give a personal testimony. In my life, I have bought one lottery ticket. One. The day the lottery was legal in the state of Virginia, I went to the 7-Eleven on King Avenue and bought one ticket, and I won $5. And I never bought another lottery ticket since. Well, some people gamble in many different ways. They go to horse racing or casino or card games, sports betting. They roll the dice, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Why do they do this? Is their love of money greater than their love of Christ? Do they place more faith in chance than they do in Christ? Those who play the lottery, gamble, or think they do not have enough money, I'll just lead them to what Jesus says. He says this: do not store up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves come and break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Philippians 4:19 says this: and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And that's his promise. He'll meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. What a great promise. So if you say to yourself, I never have enough money, you'll never be content because you will always want more. Okay, so that's our first one. How else do we know that we might love money more than Christ? And number two, you know you love money more than Christ when you resent giving it. When you resent giving it. You know, we read about a story in a couple of the Gospels about this man they call the rich young ruler. And in Luke 18, the rich young ruler had a problem with giving. It says he was rich, so we know he had a lot, either money, possessions, etc. And Jesus tells him this: hey, rich young ruler, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you're going to have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. What did the man do? We all know the end of the story. It says he went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. He just couldn't part with that almighty dollar. Some people, maybe most people, who don't like to give money, they don't give because they are always in the mode of using their money to make sure they get something for it. If I'm going to give my money to this or that or whatever it is, I better get something back. If I'm going to give my almighty dollar, I must get something in return. There's got to be a payoff. I'm just not going to give this and not get something back. These people want something they can see. They want something that they can touch They want something that they can feel. It's got to be something tangible. This is extremely difficult for some people. Extremely. And I understand. I've been there. It's extremely difficult. Because you feel like, I'm giving my money and I get absolutely nothing in return. Oh, on the contrary. If you are content with giving, then you love Christ more than you love money. Because you understand that Christ loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. So that puts kind of another emphasis on what we put in that basket right there. Cheerful giver. Some people might take out that dollar or five or ten or whatever it is, or write that check. God, take my money. I don't think that's what God has in mind. He likes a cheerful giver. Here, give. Give cheerfully. And I hope we all understand that there's a wonderful biblical principle going on here. 2 Corinthians 9 says, whoever sows sparingly will also what? Reap sparingly. Okay? And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And you reap what you sow, don't you? If you never tried it, try it. Oh my goodness, try it. Try not giving anything and see what happens. Or try giving generously and see what happens. And that certainly includes giving generally, financially to God, to the church. In my early days as a Christian, I heard a pastor say this: you cannot outgive God. You can't. You can't outgive Him. The best investment that anybody, any Christian could ever make is investing in the kingdom of God. No matter what you give to God, in some way, He is going to give something back to you in return. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but that's His promise. Because if you sow generously, you will reap generously. And here's even a better promise. Luke 6:38, Jesus says this: give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I kind of like the fact that it's going to be shaken together, running over, and poured in my lap. I like that terminology. So, to conclude there, so we are content with what we have, and we are content in giving because we love Christ more than we love money. And then we get to our third and final one there in our bulletins. You know you love money more than Christ when you sin to get it. When you sin to get it. Now, I love old-time rock and roll music. So I'm going to maybe bring up a song that some of you might have remembered from 1973. It was called by a band called the OJs. I don't know how much you remember about this or where I'm going with this. But they had a song that was entitled "For the Love of Money." I don't know if you remember that. For the love of... I'm not going to sing it for you. And I don't have my guitar here, and I'm not going to play it for you. Although I did know how to play the song. It was a secular song, but the words were actually rooted in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Here's some of the words out of that song. It says this: for the love of money, people will steal from their mother. People will rob their own brother. People can't even walk the street because they never know who in the world they're going to beat for that lean, mean, green, almighty dollar. For the love of money, people will lie. They will cheat. People don't care who they hurt or beat. A woman will sell her precious body for a small piece of paper. It carries a lot of weight. Call it that lean, mean, green, almighty dollar. Wow. And that was a secular song. Now you're all going to go home and look it up on YouTube, right? On the contrary, if you are content with living a righteous lifestyle, which means one that you don't sin as you don't want to do that, then you love Christ more than you love money because you understand that sin is no longer your master. We're not slaves to sin anymore, Romans 6. We are slaves to who? Slaves to Christ. Amen? The third fill in the bulletin that we have is the main thrust of this passage right here in 1 Timothy. Verse 9 tells us this: people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So we all need to ask this question: what will we do for money? Will we sin for money? Many people do. And we find the progression in verse number 9. The verse number 9 also tells us that the love of money is foolish and harmful, that leads us into traps and temptations, into ruin and destruction. And that, my friends, is a formula for sin. You know, I know I bring this up probably more often than I should, but I'm going to bring it up again. You know, when you study verses like these that talks about money and the love of money, really, it makes me wonder how some of these preachers can preach a health and wealth and prosperity gospel. It goes contrary, exactly contrary to what we're saying right here. Because that type of gospel message, it entices and encourages the love of money and greed and envy and covetousness that goes along with that mentality of, I want to get rich. Is Christ enough? Who's on top of the pyramid? Is Christ there and then everything else falls underneath him? Or is money, wealth, prosperity up there? Those things, greed, envy, covetousness, love of money, that's all part of the human condition. But we are what? We are new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Christian will say this: teach me holiness. Teach me humility. Teach me contentment. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. So I'm not very godly if I am pursuing money, possessions, and stuff above Christ. I'm not saying that we shouldn't invest our money wisely. We should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work for a job or try to get promotions. We should. I'm just asking a simple question. Where does that stand in relationship with Christ? Who's first? Who's on top? Contentment is a Christian value. So, summary. We are content with what we have and we don't need any more. We are content in giving and we are content in our righteousness and not sinning. Those are the signs of godliness, signs of a true Christian. So, we need to answer that question each for ourselves here this morning. Where do we stand with our stuff, with our possessions, with our money? And what really are we worshiping? That or Christ? Can only serve how many masters? One. Let's go to God in prayer.